All right.
How's everybody doing? Everybody had a good time tonight?
Yeah.
Real good time?
Yeah.
Just minute time or big time? I will say, let's give our preacher and his lovely wife a hand. They have done a wonderful job. And they put the bulk of this together. Some of us helped out. A lot of different folks had hands in it, but I hope y'all have enjoyed it. I know I have. I'm tired. I'm hot. But I've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
Amen.
So, all right. At the request of a couple of individuals. Do y'all remember who my friends were from one time when I spoke before?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember these people?
Yeah. Yep.
Or do y'all remember this person?
I remember that one.
How to kill zombies.
All right. So what we're going to talk about tonight is something we visited one time before. We're going to talk about how to kill a zombie. I think some of y'all enjoyed this message last time. Who remembers where the text was from? See how much y'all paid attention. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Been a while. How about Ezekiel chapter 37? I'm going to read a few verses here, and we'll get into the Word of God. And I promise you it's going to be fun. We're going to have an enjoyable time, as we've already had tonight. We're going to continue to have a good time, but we also want to let God's Word speak for its holiness and its supremacy. So we're going to just get into the Word of God and see what it's got to say. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones." It says, "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." So this valley that Ezekiel had gone to here was just full of all grades of bones. In other words, it had been a burial ground for people for years and years and years and years. So this valley was open, and it was full of just dry bones. So that means that these bones had all the flesh kind of decayed off of them. That's kind of gross, isn't it? It's kind of nasty to think about. But all the flesh had decayed off of them. How many people seen a skeleton before? Everybody seen skeletons? Seen the pictures of them? Scully? Everybody know Scully? We had Scully in high school, y'all, in science class, and it had all the bones, and his name was Scully. Everybody ought to have a Scully in high school. That's just my opinion. But we had Scully. Well, this particular valley was full of Scullies. It says, "And they said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest." And everybody's thinking, how could just bones that have been dried up live? But he answered and said, "Thou knowest." Again, he said unto me, "Prophesy upon these bones that I and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live." So pretty much what's going to happen here is all that decay and degeneration that had caused all these bones just to completely dry up is getting ready to go in reverse. And everything's going to come backwards really quick. Everybody got it? So they're going to end up, this what started out being dry bones is going to end up a living, breathing soul. It says, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord." It's only God who can do that. It says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, and lo, sinews and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them, above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. So we see here where these bones that had laid dry in this valley for so long, they had done come apart, their joints had come out. You know, you might have had a leg bone over here and a hip bone over there and an arm bone over there. And when the prophet here prophesied unto them, those bones started coming together right back where they originally belonged. And, you know, it's an amazing thing to think about that somebody would have that kind of power. But what we're going to see here, and what we talked about the first time when I talked to y'all, was zombies. And I asked the question, what is a zombie? Anybody remember the definition of a zombie? Harrison, help me out.
It's about a creature that goes like this.
A creature that goes like this.
And can kill people and turn people into zombies.
So zombies create other zombies, correct? All right, we're going to get to that in a minute. A zombie is a willless and speechless human. They originated in the West Indies, and they are capable only of automatic movement. They had no purpose, no mind about them. It was only what was instilled in them. They couldn't speak and carry on a conversation like we are. They couldn't tell you definitions like Harrison just did. They couldn't have a good time like we do. They're only capable of automatic movement, basically doing what they were told to do. It says, they were held to have died and been supernaturally reanimated. So we see here we saw a couple of verses in the last time I preached this, and it's Romans 6:23 taught us that the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hebrews 9:27 said, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And I asked the question this, I said, what was a sinner, or do we have zombies today? And I answered the question, absolutely. We have zombies walking around us everywhere we look today. And I don't see any sitting in here right now, which is a good thing, other than our little friend sitting here. And we might see one a little bit later this evening. We might. Y'all look out for the zombies. But a sinner is nothing more than a zombie. He walks about this earth daily. He's willless. He doesn't have any purpose. He has no desire for more. They have no further purpose than others just to exist. They're not living for anything other than themselves. They're only capable of doing what their self-will tells them to do. They're not capable of doing anything to help anybody. They're not capable of doing anything to benefit anybody. They don't serve a higher being as we do. They don't serve the God that we serve. They're lost.
Yes.
It says here, they make a lot of noise, but they don't say anything. Their words are meaningless. It says, They never seem to make sense. You ever talk to somebody who's lost and you just don't understand what they're saying? You're like, what is he even talking about? But exactly. It says, we try to understand them, but their noise to us is gibberish. We have no comprehension of what they say. It says, we tend to have a desire to help these people. We as Christians ought to have a desire to help these zombies that are walking amongst us, the lost, the sinners. Sometimes we get so involved in them that we start to act and sound like them ourselves. We get so close to them, calling them our friends. And I challenge you to be careful with who you call your friend.
Yes.
It's not a good thing for us to dwell amongst the lost.
That's right.
Because it does nothing but tear us down.
Yes.
It does nothing but draw us to that side that we've come out of. So I challenge you to be careful who your friends are. The people here in this room tonight, I'm proud to call my friends. And I say proud, not in a sense of being prideful, but in a sense of being thankful. I'm thankful to have each and every one of y'all as friends. Be careful how you choose your friends. Instead of wanting to help these people, we oftentimes get so frustrated because they don't understand what we know. We get frustrated with them. We get aggravated. Or either we fall into the same lines that they fall into. Ezekiel 37:3, the question was asked, can these bones live? Can these sinners be saved? Can these people who are lost, who, these zombies who are walking day in and day out around us, can they be saved? Well, our logic tells us the same thing that Ezekiel said. Absolutely. Because we believe God still can. If you don't, you should believe God still can, because it's evident day in and day out as we see the lost saved. It's evident. Each and every one of you in this room is a testimony of what God can do. I remember a time when I was younger, when I was lost. I'm a testament standing here today that God can still save sinners. Trinity, Trail, Samantha, Kayla, Brother Adams, Brother Aaron, about got y'all confused. That's bad, ain't it? They're testaments. Miss Vicky, Mr. Odell, testaments of what God can do, that he can still save the lost. Does that mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. Does that mean that we'll never sin again? Well, I would hope that we wouldn't, but reality is we all fall into temptation at some point in time because we fail to trust God the way that we should. So we have to look to God to help us. It says here, can these bones live? It is possible. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. 1 John 4:9 teaches us, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The only way that we can have life is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anything short of that is death. Anything short of that, you'd still be a zombie. The commandment here was to prophesy. God's told us as Christian people that we ought to prophesy, that we ought to tell others, we ought to be the ones to go to the lost. People say, oh, that's the preacher's job, that's the deacon's job, that's the Sunday school teacher's job. That's not the case. It's Harrison's job, it's Wilson's job, it's Trinity's job, it's Matt's job. It's your job too. Since I forgot your name, Trill. It's our jobs to go to the lost. It's not just a preacher's job. It's our jobs. The message was to hear the word of the Lord. God's word teaches us. Who can quote John 3:16 for me? Somebody, quick. Go ahead. So is that the word? So what's wrong with telling somebody that? Why don't we go daily telling people that? You have the opportunity to walk out and shoot the darts that God has given us out of his word. This word is a powerful sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword that's ever been created. We have the ability to slay zombies day in and day out, just by quoting God's word, just by reading God's word. So that's the message. After you've given a message, we see a result in verse 7 of Ezekiel 37. It says, so I prophesied as it was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. You can't stand in the midst of God and prophesy and there not be a movement. If God has told you as he's told us, and this is where we as Christian people oftentimes fall short and we oftentimes fail. We look around, and I've heard more than one person say it here lately, is we look around and we say, well, I've done all I can do, or I'm doing all I can do, and I'm not seeing God move. I'm not seeing God do what he's promised us. That's the common consensus in churches today. Can I tell you that if you're in touch with God and you're praying and you're doing what God's told you to do, it doesn't matter what grade you're in. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're in touch with God and you trust him and you believe wholeheartedly and you put faith in him and you pray and ask him, he's going to hear you and he's going to answer you. And when you prophesy, you speak his word, the dry bones will begin to rattle. You'll hear the noise rounding about you. And it won't be a noise you're afraid of. Oftentimes, we get scared. We get fearful when we stand in the presence of God, and rightfully so. But when we're in His will and we're doing what He told us to do, there's nothing to be afraid of there. There's no reason that when those bones start to rattle, you know what we ought to do when those bones start to rattle? We ought to shout. We ought to rejoice. We ought to be glad. This thought crossed my mind the other day. The Bible teaches us that the angels rejoice and make a joyful noise in heaven when a lost man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for his Savior. The other week, I was watching a service up in Burlington. Most of you know about the revival going on in Burlington, so I'm going to go here tonight. But I was watching a service, and at the end of that service, there was 80-plus people that had gotten saved, that had called upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. Over 80 people. If all the angels in heaven rejoice over one, can you imagine what heaven sounded like over 80?
Yes, yes.
Can you... I bet it was loud in here tonight. We had some good cheers. It was real loud. Everybody agree? You'd be drowned out by one angel. We as Christian people need to rejoice the same way the angels rejoice when a soul comes to Jesus Christ and we slay that zombie. The end result was an exceeding great army. Every time we add a soul, and I say we, it's Jesus Christ who does the saving. But you can have a part in adding souls to His army.
That's right.
You can be a recruiter for God. Each and every one of us. It has no age limit. Each and every one of us, from my daughter, who is probably the youngest in here, she can be a testament for Jesus Christ at her age. How? You ask, how can somebody that young be a testament? I can tell you how. Because when that little girl gets excited about coming to church,
yes,
and somebody in the grocery store sees it, their hearts are convicted.
Amen.
And she does. She gets excited about coming to church,
yes,
at a little bit less than 2 years old. Do you show the same zeal about coming to church? And it's evident you do. You're here.
Yes.
You're here on July 4th and Monday night when we celebrate our independence, when most of the rest of the world is out watching fireworks and having parties and this and that. Y'all are in church tonight, and I applaud you for that. But I can tell you, more than me being pleased with it, or the preacher being pleased with it, or your Sunday school teacher being pleased with it, God's pleased with where you're at tonight.
Amen.
He's pleased with you being here tonight.
Yes, He is.
The end result was an exceeding great army. So I asked this question at the end of this message last time, and we're not right at the end, but I'm going through this as a review, kind of. How do we kill a zombie? Anybody remember? Everybody at one time, tell me. How do we kill a zombie? With the
Sword
word.
Sword of Spirit.
Sword of Spirit.
And the sword.
How do we kill a zombie? Come on, y'all. Help me out. Y'all are
with the word.
All around it. With the word. What does the word give?
The gospel.
What does the word give? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You kill the zombie by giving it life. You know the only thing that can give life is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God created us. He breathed life into man's nostrils. When we sin, that life passed away. So the only way from that point on, when that life passed away, when man sinned in the Garden of Eden and our life passed away, the only way to have life returned unto us is by hearing the Word of God and having faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. It's simple. We put our faith and trust in Him to do exactly what He did in the beginning for us. He breathed life into our nostrils. So every time you pick up the Word of God and you take it as your sword and you go out and you fight in that army that you were called into the day you got saved, you're giving life to another soul. And you may say, well, I've never seen a soul saved. I've witnessed. I've talked to people. I've done this. I've done that. There's many men and women who have spent their whole lives, they've passed out numerous gospel tracts. They've talked to numerous people. They've done this, done everything that's been asked of them. And, you know, they may not have never had the opportunity to lead a soul hands-on to Christ. They may not have ever had that opportunity. But I can promise you this, the work that they put in did not go void. There is a soul somewhere that was saved because of the gospel that they handed out. God says he won't let his word go void. If we put it out there and we continue and we keep on, we take our swords and we keep fighting, we keep going headlong, the rewards will be there. The results will be there. The fruit will be there.
Amen.
So I ask this question. Revival means to restore life, right?
Right.
Restore back to normal, bring things back to normal. Our normal state when we were created was to be with God. So when we get revival and we have life restored unto us and we come back to that normal state, we're with God again. Everybody agree? Can I tell you this? When you're in the midst of God, you can't help but be filled and his spirit overrunning you. He's too big for me to contain. He's too big for you to contain. So why try? Let his word overflow out of you. I'm going to give you this example. And before I do, we're going to do a little game with this. How about that? Let's see. Brother Aaron is on the Hatfields team, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Can you come up here? I got something for you.
That's not a Hatfield coat.
That's a large. Can you wear a large?
I can.
Just slide that on over your shirt for me. Brother Adams, you are a McCoy. Can you wear extra large? You can.
Yeah.
You can. All right. There you go. How about slide this on for me?
What could
they
do?
I'll let you know.
All right. In true black light flat fashion.
Uh-oh.
Like I need a black light, right?
Here we go. It's getting ready to get real interesting real quick. Everybody see me?
Yes.
Too bright?
Too bright. Too bright.
Too bright. You can turn it back on.
No. Pat that.
That guy's got cat eyes.
How many
people we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need 1, 2.
Uh-oh.
I'll take it.
I think we're in for it, aren't we?
I'm holding on. 4 people
from each team. 4 people from each team. All right.
I think they're going to cover with something.
I don't know.
All right. Y'all three and
Justin.
Come here.
That's me.
I need you to go back there about where your mama is and everybody get in the line.
What about me?
Back there behind her. You go to Jonathan, you can go.
Yes, sir.
1, 2, 3, 4.
We's in trouble.
Oh,
yeah, we're in trouble.
They got guns.
1, 2, 3. They got guns.
Y'all know how to use them.
Yeah, I'll ask you.
Everybody knows how to use them.
All
right. Here we go.
John, you know what to do. You
got to
pull it all the way out.
Brother Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You have one job.
Oh, yeah.
You have to stand in one place. Right about right here. About right here. Okay. And they're going to shoot at you with them little balls.
Uh-oh.
Them ones you ain't real good at seeing.
Cover your face.
Ready.
Eight. Five.
So,
cover your face. Yeah, cover your face.
This is what they look like. Your job is to try to catch one. Okay? Got it?
Come on, Aaron!
It's your what to catch one?
All right. Y'all ready?
All right.
Chest area.
Yeah, and your chest area. And his job is to try to catch him.
Right at the white there, y'all.
One shot at a time. John, you go first.
That is back right at the white.
Round one, you missed. Sit down.
All right, you got to sit down.
What happened?
Down,
so where'd he go?
Harrison's up next.
You got to sit down.
He said he was a good shot.
Wait till he finishes. John, sit down, buddy.
I think Harrison moved up a step.
He did.
All right, Harrison.
No, back. He said,
he missed. Judson, you're up.
Come on, Judd.
I got him, Harrison.
I can't wait to do this.
I didn't catch it.
Hey, I got it.
You hit it?
Yeah,
I did it.
Can I catch a little stuff too?
He missed.
All right. That's round three. All right, Wilson, sit down. Wilson, back up. Back up beside the mom.
He wants to get me for real.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Wilson.
Firehole.
Where's the ball go?
Oh.
All right.
Where's the ball go?
I'm done. He's off to the side.
Where's Mr. Murray?
Oh, yeah.
Next. Where's the ball go? Well, you're just
the ball's right there.
No.
Yeah, I was the test case, brother.
Brother Adam.
I was the test case.
Those three right there. And Mr. Jodella. You want to handle this? All right,
you guys. Shoot them where I can get them. We got to win.
Two.
I'll go last.
Trinity, you're up.
Yeah.
Jodella's turn.
Samantha.
Thing. All right, everybody agree that was a lot of balls that got shot at these two gentlemen?
Yep.
Would everybody say neither one of them caught anything, right? Yeah. All right, but what did you not see?
Brother Aaron?
They got
what?
Hit.
Tell them what you got, Brother Aaron.
I got a ball.
Huh. Yeah, I got that.
It turned green, too.
How did he get the ball? Anybody know?
He could have picked that ball up.
He could have caught it.
He didn't catch one.
That's right.
He picked
I said,
it up.
I said, watch, he didn't catch one.
Ooh, you could have gave
but
it to
you
him.
Know what he did do? He stood right there, and I picked one of them balls up while nobody else was watching. While y'all were shooting Brother Adams, I picked one of them balls up. And you know what I did? I come over here to Brother Aaron, and I spent a little bit of time in secret with him. And I said, here you go. You can have this. So that dart, that ball that y'all shot, that was bouncing all over the place, somebody else picked up and handed to the same man that y'all were shooting at. Sit down. So you see, not always are things as they appear. There's a whole lot of times when we spend time doing things.
Found one.
We made a whole lot of phone calls. What, 2 years ago? Now,
a whole lot of phone calls went out. Miss Vicky spent hours and hours and hours calling. The preacher, Miss Mary Ann, other people spent hours calling. A lot of time. There's a lot of door hangers that have gone out in this town. There's a lot of flyers been passed out. How many flyers we passed out at the parade? Anybody remember? Just this past year. Anybody remember?
Over 300.
Way over 300.
Over 3,000.
Do you remember how many it was?
At the parade, it was 5,000.
5,000. I was thinking it was. 5,000 flyers got passed out at the parade. Do you think that that might have touched somebody that we don't know?
Yes.
Do you think somebody might have taken some time to sit and read what was on that flyer?
Yes.
Do you think somebody might take the time to pick up a gospel tract that maybe we have placed in somebody's hand? And it ain't always the individual that we're trying to get that we end up with. It ain't the one we're trying to reach always the one we end up with. That individual might take that gospel tract that you passed out, and they walk over and they say, this ain't worth nothing, and they throw it on the table somewhere. And somebody in the time when they need it most walk by and pick it up.
Yes.
But because you did what God told you to do, and trying to give a zombie life, because you did what God told you to do, soul was saved. You may never know about it. That individual may never contact you. But I can tell you this. When we stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one day, and we see every gospel tract we handed out and where it went, and we see every individual that we talked to, whether they made a decision to accept Christ or not, we did what we were told to do. Their blood won't be on our hands. But for those ones that we may not have known we touched, we're going to get credit for those. We're going to get credit for doing what God told us to do. So my challenge tonight, as individuals, yes, we've had a good time. We got to shoot balls with Brother Aaron and Brother Adam. Had a good time. Everybody had a good time?
Yes.
But what's more important than having a good time?
Saving souls.
Seeing souls saved. Why? Because that makes us have a better time. That's what's fun. Because you know what? The more souls that we see saved, the more people that will be in this church. And I'm not saying we might not never grow to 10,000 numbers. Preacher's thinking 10,000, that's a lot. We might not ever grow more than what we are right here, but along the way, you will make some friends. Yeah. Along the way, there will be some people that you find yourself you can confide in. Along the way, there will be an individual that maybe in a time when you're in a bad way, you can pick up the phone and say, hey, can you pray for me? I need some help right now. You'll make some friends. There'll be a time when we can all get together at the preacher's house and shoot fireworks off in the rain. We can do that.
That's not fun.
Because we have friends. Y'all may not know it. I still got a whole load of fireworks in the back of my truck. And the ones we shot off, won't but one of those mine. Brother Dave Wilson brought those.
Yeah.
He said, I'm willing to shoot mine off in the rain. Y'all know how I am about fireworks. I like to put on a show. I don't just like to shoot one or two off. He said, hey, we'll shoot mine off. He's a friend. But he's a friend that somebody took the time to pray for. He's a friend that somebody took the time to witness to. He's a friend that somebody spent some time for. We can develop a whole lot of friendships in this world. Our friendships need to be made up of people that are like we are.
Yes.
Not just individuals that we can call and go out and have a good time with, but individuals that we can pick up the phone and say, hey, will you pray with me? Those are going to be your true friends.
Amen.
Those will be the ones that you not only can laugh with, but you can cry with them too. That's important. Any individual in this room, I would hope that I'm that friend to you.
Amen.
It's my prayer that I would. A friend must show himself friendly. And there's a whole lot of times, and it breaks my heart to say this, but there's a lot of times when I walk in the doors and I get so tied up, so busy doing things. Preacher can testify this. He probably does the same thing sometimes. But there's a lot of times when I walk in and you can ask him, I go straight to the sound booth and I'm doing stuff and I fail to speak. I fail to say hello. I'm sorry for that because I'm not showing myself friendly. But I hope you know me well enough. And this is no excuse, but I will just tell you this. I hope you know me well enough that when you're not here, I notice. And I may not ever say anything, but I notice, and I can promise you I pray for you. I can promise you, the ones that aren't here tonight, I miss them. The preacher knows when you're not here. You're important to him. Because he spent time in prayer for each and every one of you. I've spent time in prayer for each and every one of you. And I feel like all y'all have prayed for me. I wouldn't make it through today if you didn't. I'd be hard pressed. I'd do a dangerous job. If people did not pray for me on a daily basis, I may not make it home from that job. There's people praying for me, and those are my true friends.
Amen.
They're friends that will confront me from time to time when I get out of line. They're friends that not only are there to have a good time, but they're there when I'm having a rough time too. That's the friendship this church needs. Friends that support each other, that care for each other, that can go out and kill zombies together. Just by giving the word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the blessings you bestowed.